sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God, and how great is our God. Oh, sing with me how great above all names. Oh, you're the name above all names. Oh, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great and how great is our God. Oh, sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God, and how great.
Great God, amen. We'll just sing that song, He Knows My Name, amen. How many glad that Jesus Christ knows your name? Not that we know His name, but most of all, He knows us, amen, before the foundation of the world.
And I have a Maker, He formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in His hands. Well, He knows my name, and He knows my every thought, and He sees each day that falls, and He hears me when I call.
And I have a Father.
And I have a Father. He calls me His own, and He'll never leave me. Each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call, and he hears me when I call.
Amen. Would you sing that song? You deserve the glory, Lord.
And you deserve the glory. As we glorify your name, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lift our hands in worship as we glorify your name, for you
of you, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, and Lord, we do made manifest us in this day, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, to make manifest you, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, that's our desire, God, Lord, we want to live and breathe and sleep the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, we just want to be drawn, Lord, and formed into your image, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we can be just like you, God, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all those things, Lord, that you did for our sister there, God, Lord, and Lord, for the other one, Lord, I can't remember that fast, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, just thank you for, Lord, always being with your children, God, Lord, and answering prayers, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the little things, God. We thank you for the great things, God, Lord. And Lord, we want to keep you in mind, God, Lord, always, Lord. Be mindful, Lord, that you're always watching, God. You're always here, Lord God. And you're right here now amongst us, God, Lord, watching our worship, God, Lord. And help us, Lord, to get into the Spirit, God, Lord. And Lord, fulfill your prophecy, Lord Jesus, Lord, so we can look back and say, this is that which was spoken, amen. God, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we would be, Lord, exactly what you want us to be in this day, God, Lord, and Lord, for a purpose, God, Lord. We just love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Be with our little worship team here, God, Lord. And Lord, just Lord, we just want to bring you down, Lord, and welcome you, God, Lord, and woo you, Lord, just like you wooed us, Lord, in the beginning, God, Lord. Be with our brother, God, as he brings us word, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Just sing that song. These are the days of Elijah. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call. Of Ezekiel, those dry bones becoming as flesh, and these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise, and these are the days of the harvest, the fields are
he's riding on.
no one like you, Jesus. There's 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 no one like you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. And the trumpets call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. Amen. Why don't you sing that song, Higher, Higher. Amen. How many just came to lift up Jesus today? Amen. Lift Him up higher and higher every day in your life. Amen. Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher. Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lower, lower, lower. Lower, 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 lower. Stop Satan, lower. Cast your burden unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Cast your burden unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Wider, 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 wider. Spread the gospel wider, oh, wider, 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 wider. Spread the gospel higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher, 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 higher. Lift. Sing that again. Unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Cast your burden unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Would you sing out a song, Till My Chains Comes? I believe my soul is raptured. How many believe that today? Amen. I believe my soul is raptured, and I'm sitting in heavenly places. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of my redemption. So I'll wait till my chains come. Oh yes, I'll wait till my chains come. Oh, I will pray my sisters through. I will be my brother's keeper. I will demonstrate God's love, the agape love that's within me. So I'll wait till my chains come. Yes, I'll wait till my chains come. Oh, I will stand upon God's word and will testify of His goodness. I will praise and bless His name for the message of the hour. So I'll wait till my chains come. Oh yes, I'll wait till my chains come. Oh, one of these days it will happen, for the change has started within me. My theophany is waiting yonder,
and the shout has already gone. So I wave to my chain come. Oh yes, I wave to my chains come. So I wave. Oh, so I wave to my chains come. Oh yes, I wave to my chains come. I will stand upon God's word and will testify of its goodness. I will praise and bless his name for the message of the hour. So I'll wait till my chains come. Oh yes, I'll wait till my chains come. And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise, well, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Sing that like you mean it. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book. Sing that again. Oh, every promise in the book, it's mine. And every chapter, every verse, every line, well, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book. Sing that again. Every promise in the book.
So far. Appreciate Brother Simon taking that service for us there. And as a pastor, I say Happy New Year to each and every one of you. By the grace of God, we've been out of town. Just made it back. Didn't think I could go much longer. I wanted to get home. So by the grace of God, we decided to come home. And anyway, we just looking forward to another year of God's promises. Another year for God to manifest himself to us and to really just take us further. Amen. Got a lot of things working in the preaching department. And by the grace of God, I believe some of those things will be a great blessing to you. And I'm just really looking forward to going farther with God this year. Amen. A lot of people have resolutions, and we just have one thing. We just want to be closer to God than we were last year and the year before. And certainly we're looking forward to those things. And I found out just yesterday, actually, that Brother Jesse was going to be in town. And I thought that's always quite a blessing when we get him preaching when he's around. And we're really looking forward to that this morning. So by the grace of God, we'll have him to speak to us. And if he's going to speak to us, I might as well just sing me a song here and just glorify the Lord a little bit. I don't know about you. It's I'm looking forward to being active in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I'm going to sing that song. One day Jesus will call my name. I'm going to try to find my key here. Some days drag, some days fly, some days I think of the day I'll die. Some days thrill me, and some days drain, but one day Jesus will call my name. One day Jesus will call my name. As days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to him that it's no big change. On that day that Jesus calls my name. Oh, some days I pray, yet some days I curse. It's that number of days that I put myself first. But it's not what I do. The cross made that plain. Oh, and one day Jesus will call my name. Oh, one day Jesus will call my name. And as days go by, I hope I don't stay the same. I want to get so close to him that it's no big change. On that day that Jesus calls my name. Oh, some days I pray, but some days I curse. It's that number of days that I put myself first. But it's not what I do. The cross made that plain. But one day Jesus will call. So ready for a greater fellowship. As far as I want to be at a place where I'm already communing with God, I've already worked into it myself into a position of such a capstone love for not just man but for God. That there, this rapture isn't much of a change for me. A squeeze ain't going to take me from where I found. Amen. Hallelujah. Ain't no persecution, ain't no tribulation can pause from that. Hallelujah. We want that type of a walk with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to allow our brother to come up here, obviously. Needs no introduction. Needs nothing to be stated. We certainly appreciate his ministry every time it's been here. It has been a blessing. And I was actually thinking, and I can't think of a time it hasn't been a great blessing to the church. It's almost like the Lord, when he ordains ministers to come here, You know, you think of Brother Gabe and all these other brothers, and how the Lord just, Brother Ben, and how the Lord every time, He just really take care of us. Amen. Shows us that He's with us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So by the grace of God, we'll sing one more song as we invite our brother out. One of our New Year resolutions is to get some sound from the back pastor's office. Amen. Consider a work night / maybe an outreach night coming very soon. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We took a break in 2014, excuse me, so it'd be a good time to start getting moving. I don't know about some of you. We're tired of sitting on them pews like that. Oh, hallelujah. I thought that would have been our most Pentecostal moment we might have. Hallelujah. Amen. Tired of being in a cave hearing the echo 50 times? Amen. 2015 holds some great things. Amen. Praise God. In doing that, we always just have such a fond place in our heart for this song. Let's just sing that song. I love the Spirit of God's here. I don't know if you feel it, but let's sing that song. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. You want to worship God today? It's 2015. Let's worship God with everything we got. Let's have expectation for the Word. Amen. We're getting ready for a rapture. Hallelujah. And I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart.
Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer as we enter into this service here, beginning 2015 in the house of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads, Lord, before You. Lord, and the only covering we have, Lord, is Your blood. as Brother Cam preached to us on Wednesday, the angels have wings to cover. But Lord, we don't have any wings. We're not angels. We're not holy of ourselves. So Lord, we need Your covering this morning. The blood of Your Son. And Lord, that's the covering I want to be under because I don't have any holiness of my own. And Lord, I could not approach Your throne of grace upon my own holiness. And Lord, if angels that are holy have to cover themselves, what about us? Lord, cover us in Your blood for 2015. But also for this service. We're grateful to be here. Bless the pastor, his family, all these servants of God here, faithfully at their post of duty. Bless them, Lord, for their love for You. It's easy to love You, Lord, because You first loved us and purchased our salvation on Calvary. It's so easy to raise our hands and bow our hearts and sing songs because of what You've done. While we were yet sinners, Christ the righteous died for the unrighteous. Thank You, Lord, that while I was yet a sinner, You cared enough to love me, Lord. Now help me to sacrifice my life now that I might serve You better this year than I have in years past. Only by Thy covering, only through Your precious holy blood. Speak to us now in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. God bless you. Let's take our Bibles here today by the grace of the Lord. I think I'll preach like three sermons and put them all into one. just joking. Let's, if we can, by the grace of the Lord, let's start here in Revelation 2:24. I'd like to kind of preach a little bit from my heart, you know, this morning and my own little experience, you know, from 2014. I was telling your pastor about it on Wednesday. Just what the Lord has been helping me with in 2014. And I'd like to preach this message called Overcoming Complexes in a Complex Age. Let's look at that this morning. I ministered this at home. It was a tremendous blessing to our church. And three or four people at the altar there crying and seeing fruits of the repentance in my life, you know. Because I was one of the ones who had complexes and needed to make things right. And so, you know, the Word of God is good when you're bringing it. It's for you. You repent. And then you receive the blessings of God as well. That's how you know God's real. He cleans out your life. So let's look at that. Revelation 2:24. Praise God. Overcoming complexes in a complex age. There's so many beautiful things in the Scripture. Let's look at this here. Verse 24. But I say unto you and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. So each age has a burden they've got to overcome. Amen. And these burdens are placed upon the age, and if we're not careful, if we don't handle them through the power of Christ, we can build complexes real fast. And so that's the burden. That speaks of a burden to each age by the grace of God. Now, if you would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Verse 3. And of course, we send greetings from Bride of Christ Fellowship. We have Brother Keith Randolph preaching there this morning. Faithful evangelist. He's probably gone to the Philippines 50 times. A wonderful brother covering for us there. And God's given us a few new souls recently, so we're thankful for that. And someone said, I don't know what Brother Branham said, but someone said whenever new life comes into the church, it really stirs up the church. And so my heart stirred up. And it just, I'll share a little testimony here in a little bit by God's grace. So, and we think of you all. Many times I pray on Wednesday nights, especially I pray for every church around the area, and I pray for you guys and faithfully serving the Lord. So happy to be a Christian today. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. There's one time you can have revenge. When you've disobeyed God and you want to get revenge on the devil. When your obedience is fulfilled. One more time, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and love. Lord, I'm so grateful for another year to serve you. Bless us here. Bless the pastor again and bless all of us as we look into this word of God. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. God bless you for being seated there. Praise God. Let's look at this little thought here. I preached this at home back in July, and then in August I preached it at Brother Isaiah's church there in Iowa. And a brother came up afterward and said that was truly God. And he had built this complex toward his boss. And he had said, I never even understood I had a complex until you preached that. So I said, well, thank the Lord for his mercy, you know, to help us out by the grace of the Lord. And so we'd like to look at this here. And Brother Branham takes this quotation, the Thyatiran Church Age book, the section there, page 239. And he talks about the pressure that was for the Thyatiran age. What was the burden they'd have to battle? The word for burden is weight or pressure. The pressure of the dark age was either bend or be broken. That was the pressure they had. Bow or die. Now, bow to the Catholic Church or die. It was the Inquisition, the power of the empire backing up satanic worship. Be organized or pay with your life. Each age had its pressures. For example, a great burden of the last age is the pressure of riches, soft living, and nervous tensions. In a complex age that we seem unfitted to live in. So Brother Adam tells us we're unfit to live in this complex age. This age is very complex, and let me just give you a little scriptural understanding here. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, the love of many shall wax cold. So part of the complexity of this age is that there's not much love amongst anybody. But Jesus said, you'll know my disciples because they'll have love one for another. And real love. Love to tell you the truth when you're wrong. Love to encourage you when you're down. Love to help you out when you need a few bucks. Love to help you out when you need a roof over your head. The bride will have this love, and it'll be ultimately a love for Christ the Word. That's part of the burden. There's not a lot of love around. So you've got to be one to choose to manifest and reflect the love of God when others won't. Another trouble is Revelation 9:16. Brother Branham said 200,000 demons were loose from the river Euphrates. So we have this burden upon us. More demons are loose in this hour. Now remember, they were loose on the Jews to drive Israel back to their homeland, but they're still here. I can't find a scripture that said, oh, they went back inside their dwelling place or anything like that. They're still here. And so it creates another complexity to our age. More demons to battle. Also, Jesus said in Luke 17:26-29, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Sodom, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So on top of there not being much love, on top of all these demons, we have this Noah anointing trying to come upon it's actually upon the age, right? A love where there, a spirit where there's violence upon the earth. A spirit where they're building and planting. No matter what any word of God says, they'll keep planting and building and marrying. Now there's nothing wrong with that for the Christian as long as you're led of God to do that. But they would do it in such a way that it pulls them away from Noah, and we got to make sure these things today don't pull us away from the message of William Branham. Amen. Because he's God's man for the age. No, as I was preaching there a few Fridays ago, Oral Roberts and Billy Graham were great men. They were the two angels that went down to Sodom. But they never stood there with thus saith the Lord and discerned people's hearts. Like Brother Branham's ministry. When my mom was at the service, I was just preaching that just to try to help her because I love her so much. And she was so gracious to come to our service. a few Fridays ago. Wasn't that such a blessing to us? And we pray for her. I know she prays for me. She spent many years praying for me. Very thankful for that. But I brought up the fact that Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, the church will be taken over by rock and roll in 1965, and look what it is today. If rock and roll is not at a denomination near you, it's coming. It is. It's coming. Because that draws the young crowd. The old people don't want it, and they'll keep it out. But once this generation goes, you better watch out. It'll take over the church. But now you have the spirit of Noah's day, the spirit of Lot's day, homosexuality, and so forth, and groups and raging groups of violent men, so forth. You have that. Look at the protesting today. And that's a lot like the protesting in Sodom there. Now they're protesting over violence, but the spirit's here. The spirit to want to go protest publicly and gather and start pounding and fighting against the authorities and all these things. The spirit is here. And it's part of the complexity of this age that we're battling. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:3, there'll be deceivers in the last days, will wax worse and worse. So on top of all this, if that isn't complex enough for you, the preachers will be more deceiving in this day than in any other age. We better make sure we got the Holy Ghost. Thank God we do! Amen! Hallelujah! How do you know, Brother Jess? Because it stays with the Word. It makes you live a life that's worthy of the Gospel. And so we're told it's the greatest battle ever fought is today, the battle of the mind. And so, this is the complexity that we have to deal with in our age. How many would say, Brother Jess, I agree, it's a very complex age. Yeah. Lot, Noah, 200 million demons, deceivers, no love. Oh my, this is quite an age we live in here. It's lukewarm. It's rich and increased with goods and doesn't need any more spiritual experience with God. They got enough. They got enough. They don't need to seek God anymore. There's times and seasons to do it. There's a time to seek God. There's a time where you may be, you know, God's got you in a place where you're just, you know, wandering. But there's times to really press in and seek God with more than what you have been doing. Of course, we should always seek God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying you shouldn't seek God. But the aspect of where maybe like a selling out kind of revival seeking God, there's times and seasons for that, praise God. Brother Ram wasn't in his cave every day, was he? He wasn't seeking God out in the cave every day. Why? Because he had ministry. He had duties. But there were times and seasons God would call him away to those cave experiences. But of course, you should find the cave of your prayer closet every day. If you can't find a closet, just find any old quiet place where there's nobody around and just pray into the Lord. I think you understand what I'm saying by the grace of God. I'm not saying don't seek God. But remember, there's no man that ever sought God. It's God seeking you. So if you're drawing closer to God, you can say, thank you, Lord, for drawing me to seek you. Because no man seeks after God. The sheep didn't go looking for the shepherd. The shepherd came looking for the sheep. He came looking for me. Amen. So glad he did. Hallelujah. So it's a complex age. I just want to lay this in. It's a very complex age that we're living in. But remember, the blood of Christ overcomes all these complexities. But in our daily lives, if we're not careful, we let these become hindrances. And complex means intricate, difficult to understand. Well, why did this happen with so-and-so? Why did this pastor do that? Why did this evangelist do that? Why did this ministry go that direction and that direction? Sometimes it can be hard to understand. It's complex. And church, we don't have all the answers now, but Brother Branham said there will be a lot of surprise on the day of judgment. Praise the Lord. So, we don't want there to be surprises with our lives. Like he's saying, I want to get so close to him, there's not a big change. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. That's how we can do it, by the grace of the Lord. Let me just lay out a few complexities of my life. Can I do that just for a moment here? Well, as a pastor, I've got to have everything in line for the guest preachers, like offerings. I gotta get a new projector if the church needs a new projector or a screen. I gotta make sure I feed the poor. I gotta make sure I send missionaries money. I gotta make sure everybody in the local assembly has food. I gotta pay the church rent. And I gotta preach on top of all that. I gotta visit the sick. Gotta do all these things. And that's just the church life. And then you've got the home life. Gotta pay the bills at home. Do the insurance. Gotta make sure everything's all tidied up when guests come over. Gotta make sure the children get to bed on time. Gotta make sure you get up on time. Gotta make sure you eat healthy. Gotta make sure you exercise. It's a complex age that we live in. And we're always trying to find the middle of the road, aren't we? Where Satan battles us and we try to, we try to stay in the middle, but sometimes we go to this side with different things. Sometimes we go to that side. Lord, keep me near the cross is all I can say. Just keep me near the cross. I'm not perfect. I can't do it all. It's very complex. There's a lot to understand. But I know if I keep my mind stayed on Christ, heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. Many times we have to forsake a lot of the things on the earth. Can't do all the things we'd like to do in order to stay with the word. But that'll always be the greatest decision when you walk with God in this hour. So because of all this, sometimes, church, let's just be honest, we slip into what we call complexes. Which are mental battles that we face that don't go away. A complex is an automatic reaction or feeling, always negative, you get when a person or thing or subject is mentioned or thought of. It's automatic. You don't have to, try to back that up. Well, I've always had this against Brother Dave. Let me think about the times Brother Dave. He's never done anything to me. You understand though? It's automatic. And I suffered with this for years. So that's why I can preach it like this. And if it was a blessing to our church and Isaiah's church, I thought it would be a blessing to you here this morning by God's grace. And this, the location of this complex is in your human spirit, which I'm going to type to the promised land of Israel, Canaan's land. Because this is the land that Jesus died to redeem and dwell in. Praise God. This is the land you're supposed to possess. Is that right? And so, in our minds, when we think the wrong thing over and over, as Brother Bram will tell us in just a moment here, we'll get to some quotations. What we do is we allow Satan to build a complex or building or office or castle or fortress on God's land. It's not his land. But you and I allowed him to build it on the land. He's a squatter, but sometimes he squats so long, he starts building houses. He starts building his own fortresses. It's not just, well, I'm squatting here, I got a little tent made up. No, for years, he can add brick upon brick and upon brick. He can put the plumbing in. He can lay the foundation because he's got years to do it. Some of you brothers put up your houses in like 8 months, wasn't it? Or something like that. Think about how people hold sin in their hearts against somebody else for years. Satan's got time to build like an 8-room house. He can put a hot tub in there. He can build a little driveway and pave it even. Because he's got all this time to dwell on in your mind. Come on, good. And it's a automatic thing. Brother Branham said in Zacchaeus the Businessman, 1963, you know, usually people build up a complex, just on hearing something. So you can just hear one thing and let a complex start building. Like this week, somebody shared that there was a prayer request in our church with me. And the person didn't share it with me. And right away Satan come in and said, well, you're the pastor. Why didn't they share it with you? They must not like you. And I thought, what in the world? I just got over my complexes. I just got over them. And here he is trying to make a new one. And so I told my wife, I said, honey, there's this little prayer request. I said, honey, have you heard anything about this? And yeah, so-and-so, this sister shared it with all just the sisters in the church. And I thought, praise God. Because I thought it was something, you know, Satan, it wasn't me, it was Satan thought. Satan was trying to get me to think somebody had something against me in our little church. But I could have let Satan set up camp in my mind. This brother, this sister, oh look, they don't even want you to pray for them because they don't like you. You and your big nose and ugly glasses. That's right. But see, I could have let, and it almost happened. I'm like, what in the world? What's going on here? Well, how come they didn't ask me about it? But church, listen, there's no Bible scripture that says they have to ask the pastor to pray for them. It's okay, and it'd be a sure respectful thing, but I don't have any grounds to build a complex there. And if I've got something against a person, then my duty by the word is to go to that person and talk about it. Not let Satan build up this tent, and then if it lasts a couple of weeks, well, I think I might start putting the plumbing in. I might do that. I'll call Brother Simon, and he can put the plumbing in. You know, pipe fitters, you know what I mean? Call a pipe fitter. Call a foundation layer. Call someone. This is pretty nice. It's a pretty nice land. And it is a nice land, but it's not for devils. It's not for lies. It's for joy. It's for victory. It's for strength. It's for mercy. It's for peace. It's for power. It's for love. It's for the eternal life. Hallelujah. It ain't made for devils. And it ain't made for lies. This is made for eternal life. But it's an automatic reaction. As soon as you say, Jesse, oh, something comes up in your mind or in your emotions. And so we've got to first identify a complex. You can't ever get anywhere with God or further with God until you locate sin in your life. I might have preached it when I was here in October. But remember in Genesis 12, Abraham, well at that point, Abram, exalted father, he left the promised land and went down to Egypt. Can you say amen? You remember that? God never told him to go down. He just went. Because of a little famine, a little trial. I should say a big trial. And nothing in Egypt was a real blessing to him spiritually. Now the king gave him all these gifts and he was richer, but do we want Egypt to make us rich or God to make us rich? Which one do you want? I'd rather have God make me rich. Rich in love, rich in mercy. I'm not looking rich in money. Because that's the greatest temptation and snare anybody can ever have is riches. I don't want to be rich naturally. Anyways, the Bible records when he came back, the Bible said he had to go to the exact same place that he left. And remember, he had to go back to the same altar there in Hebron. Remember that? So where he left God, where he left the will of God, he had to go right back to the perfect will of God. Amen. And he had to sacrifice right where he left God. And did I share about Peter last time I was here? I was studying on that. I think I shared with Brother Simon on the phone one time. But the Lord showed me that Peter left Christ at a fire outside the high priest's house. Remember that when he was crucified? Or Pilate's hall, I'm sorry. Pilate, not the high priest. Pilate's hall. Peter left Christ right there where there was coals of fire, and the maid said, you're one of those Holy Ghost preachers. You're one of those message of the hour preachers. I can tell. You're talking about the third pole, the seventh seal, all the church ages, all these things. And he said, no, I don't even know him. I promise him, blankety blank, I don't know him. And he looked over at Jesus, heard the cock crow, looked at Jesus, starts crying, runs away. So he left Jesus at a fire with coals. But after the resurrection, they were out fishing. And they pull at the net and there's all these fishes. And they look on the sea and there's Jesus. And remember, he throws his coat on because he took off his shirt. Flexing his big fisherman muscles. Jumps in the water, swims back. And the Bible said Jesus had prepared a fire with coals. Oh, hallelujah. And served them fish and bread. And it was that the same cause that Jesus, that Peter loved Jesus. Jesus invites Peter to come back and says, "Do you love me more than these?" Amen. Oh. In order for Peter to get back in the perfect will of God, he had to come back where he left Christ at a bunch of fiery burning coals. Amen. When the Lord showed me that, I did have a shouting jubilee. About like I had right now. Thank you, Lord! Amen! Wherever you leave God is where you've got to go back. And that's the lesson I learned. I built up complexes for years against five brothers. And I had to go back to each one of them in order to get back to where I wanted to be with God. I always wandered around this certain year. I wasn't even telling my wife this when I was going through the complex. Honey, something happened around this year. What happened around this year of my life? Why has it been so hard since this year? And I realized it's because of the complexes that I allowed to be built on God's land. Can you say amen? I just thought I'd be honest. You know, Brother Branham tells about his complex. We'll get to that in Standing in the Gap. Brother Branham says this. He says, never let an arrogant spirit ever come around you. Don't let malice come in. So arrogant means you're better than somebody. And church, let me be very honest. In the message, we've got to be very careful not to be arrogant.
Amen. Amen.
Because listen, in under the message, if we've got the Holy Ghost, we are under the word for the hour. And those who are born again are truly filled with the real Holy Ghost. And anyone that rejects the Word is not filled with the Holy Ghost in the soul.
Amen.
And so in one sense, we do have eternal life. We believe by the mercies of God. But notice I said, by the mercies of God. So we ought not to exalt ourselves above any other denominational churches. As far as look at me, I'm better than them. I don't have time to talk to you because I got the revelation of the hour. No, that means you should have the time to talk to them. Because you got the revelation of the hour. Hallelujah! You know, God showed us more, so it's our responsibility. Who's going to tell them if not you and I? Now the trouble is getting them to sit down and listen to you. That's the trouble. Try to get somebody to sit down and listen to you talk about the message of the hour. Because they've heard you're a fanatic. They've heard you don't cut your hair. They've heard you stop going to sports games and all these things like that. And you stop watching TV at your home. And you stop smoking and drinking. They've heard all this. And they say, he's a fanatic. He's in some cult. But we are in a cult. Every person is in a cult somewhere. Because a cult is a form of worship.
Amen.
Look up the word cult. It means a religious group who worships. Look it up. You're going to be a part of something. You're going to find something. You're in the House of Buckeye cult. Well, good for you. But that ain't going to get you to heaven. And in fact, that's going to distract you from heaven. The other night while they were praying, I was so grieved. You know, I checked Facebook and I'm trying to witness on Facebook. And all I saw as I scrolled down was all of House Day. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, help me, Jesus. And I got on my knees, and I'm talking message people now. Denomination message, everybody. We got our wings, and we're sitting down to eat. Watch the big game. Message people. And Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit told him not to bring a TV in his home.
Amen.
Now, there's nothing wrong with a monitor. It's the cable that's the sin. When it brings in all that trash, right?
That's right.
But you got the same problem on your smartphone because that brings in a lot of trash too. So what does it take? The Holy Spirit temperament or self-control to say no to all the things that are not of God and to say yes to the things that will benefit your family and the kingdom of God. Yeah. Because if you make the TV bad, the cable bad, you better get rid of your smartphone. And you better get rid of your newspaper because that's got sin in it too.
Come on.
And you better stop going to work because there's sin there too. But listen, Jesus said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you keep them from the influence of the world. Hallelujah! This world needs salt. The world needs light. That's what you and I are to be. But we need self-control to be able to control these things and be led by the Holy Spirit to do it.
Amen.
Godly Holy Ghost temperance. And that's one of the greatest weaknesses that people show, that they're not even at temperance in the stature of perfect man. If they can't control their TV, if they can't control their smartphone, if they can't control going to the movies watching these big games and all this nonsense like this with half-naked cheerleaders flashed on there every 5 minutes, and they wonder why they struggle with pornography, and if they can't control that, how are they even on the fourth step of the stature of a perfect man? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. And you don't got enough Holy Ghost temperance to tell no to half-naked women on a football game stadium?
Amen. Come on, brother.
Oh, boy. But I guess I was at home. I was blasting the Ohio State stuff for a while, so forgive me. Just let me leave that alone for a minute. You know that's sin. But arrogant. Don't let no malice come in. No matter what anybody's done, if they're wrong, don't never build up a complex against that person. So see, a complex is built up. It's in your mind on God's ground, and Satan builds up this complex. You let him build up this wall of defense. It could be a wall. It might turn into a fortress. The Greek word there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The word high thing literally means fortress. So Satan builds his own fortress in your mind. And then what does he do? He takes fiery darts out of your mouth and shoots them at these people. Is that right, church? Is it coming down the home to anybody today? Because it came down to my home. And so now Satan is on your land, God's land, with a house you let him build, and now you're firing off all these fiery darts that they're not saying the right thing. It's not let's get together and pray about this and so forth like that. For me it was, I would complain about things, and that's the worst sound in the world is complaining. Let me just be honest. Most preachers never say one thing, one sin they do behind the pulpit, but I'm kind of prone to admit to some of my mistakes. You know why? Because Brother Branham was. Brother Branham would tell 5,000 people, I lied to the IRS. I don't know if you do that, but a prophet did that. Why? Because God recorded that Abraham lied to King Abimelech. And I'll guarantee more than 5,000 people heard about Abraham. He knew. God knew that happened, but when the blood has washed over it, God doesn't remember it anymore. So we don't have to worry about telling it, because he knows if people remember, that's fine. But maybe it'll help somebody realize that everybody battles sin, everybody makes mistakes, but if you confess it, God will forgive you and he will remember your sin. He said, you be sweet and kind to that person. Remember, God loved you when you were in sin. And if the Spirit of God's in you, you love the other person when he's wrong. And that's what I had trouble doing, loving the other person. He said, just pray for them and love one another. Look at what Abraham says in the Godhead Explained, 1961. He talks about how the Trinitarian brothers were upset against the Oneness Brothers. He said, do you believe you both have the Holy Ghost? And Brother Bam says in the sermon, he believed both of them had the Holy Ghost. He said, oh God, if I could see all them merge and just go ahead and do not draw their lines against one another, said, we won't fellowship with one another. But I found out in this evil spirit had got among them, and it caused hatred and malice over issues that had come among them. So two groups that had the Holy Ghost, he said, hated each other. Now look, Brother Graham said they both had the Holy Ghost and they're hating each other. Well, I thought, you know, Esau persecuted Isaac. I thought a person with the Holy Ghost will never persecute someone that doesn't. Or that has it. See what this is? I'm not saying they're sealed, but look at it. Brother Graham believed they were both honest Christians and they let a spirit of hatred get on them. And they're persecuting each other. Praise God. St. Paul persecuted and blasphemed God, but he did it in ignorance. Praise the Lord. So God could have mercy on him. And then Paul said, God would make me the pattern of all those that would believe afterwards. This is quite a way to start off 2015, isn't it? Glory. But it's been on my heart for a while, and I just thought, it kind of came to me, and I was thinking, well, Brother Cam might ask me to preach. He loves me so much, and I love him, and his ministry's definitely blessed us so much over there in Akron. Our young convert, when Cam preached there after Vang's wedding, he was weeping and crying, and after the service, he said, Brother Jesse, when Cam preached that message called Alone with God, he said, I'll never forget that sermon. Praise God. And I remember times when I was a young Christian, and I remember sermons I'll never forget too. So God sent your pastor to make sure that young convert could hear how he had to walk alone with God. And little did I know, his dad had just said, oh, I'm trying to kick you out of the house. I want nothing more to do with you because you're following that message that they preach. And Brother Cam preached alone with God. That's all he had was God. He hasn't got kicked out yet, but he's been threatened and threatened and threatened. You're going to be all alone. We're not going to help you with any money. We're not going to help you pay off. If you get married, we're not going to help you. And that's a big disgrace amongst their people. Because they're people of a different culture than what we are. But look, this is what happened. Hatred and malice over issues that come among them. I thought, that's exactly as good as the devil wants. That's what he wants. As long as your guns are trained on one another, he doesn't have to fight a lick. So now let's do the picture. Now you climb up in your mind in Satan's fortress that you let him build. Boy, Satan, that's a mighty good job you did. I've always had it against that sister. I knew she never believed the word anyway. And so now you climb up. Can I just use this chair? Hopefully it don't break. You climb up and you start firing darts yourself with your own lips. And you're in Satan's fortress he built in your mind. But it's God's land. That's a complex. Automatic feeling. Oh! Automatic. A church, there are some scars, you understand? There are some scars, even when you've forgiven someone, they will still hurt a little bit. But I'm talking about something that has not been talked about, not been confessed, not loved and forgiven and things like that. That's what I'm talking about. If you're hurt as a child and things like that, sometimes you will have scars spiritually that remain your whole life and you just will never, you'll always feel a little bit of it. But if it's under the blood, then we should have a peace and some type of consolation that this is nothing between my Savior and I. I will have no trouble down at the river. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So see, when we are Christians now, we're supposed to have a wall around our spirit, which is the Word of God. Our confession of the Word of God builds a wall around our human spirit, our mind. But when we start believing something that's not true, it's like Satan kind of jumps over the wall. And then he starts knocking down the wall real quick. And he says, come on in, you other seven demons, come on in. Let's go build a fortress. That's any time we entertain a thought against someone who really we don't know if that's right or wrong. And then it becomes gossip. If we don't know if it's right or wrong, it's actually believing gossip rather than believing the truth. And I was guilty. Let me say this, Brother Branham was guilty of having a complex.
Come on, brother.
Come on. And so this is what we're talking about. To a certain person, or a certain doctrine, or a certain thought, or a certain object, we can build up a complex and we don't rule over that like we ought to. We don't treat that person, or we don't treat that topic with godly reverence like your pastor preached about the three actions of the seraphim. Reverence, humility, action. Reverence is fear for God, he preached to us. You start looking at this subject without the fear of God, making yourself God, making yourself the judge, making yourself the revenger. But God is the revenger. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And yes, as we read earlier, you can get revenge against the devil when you obey the word. That's the best way to get revenge. I'm just going to obey the word. I'm going to stop falling to this sin. I'm going to overcome and get revenge against that demon. That bad habit. Glory. I love the word, don't you? This is true. This was a type in Nehemiah's day. Remember when we preached on this a few years ago? You probably don't remember. I shouldn't say that. You probably don't remember. There's so many good sermons and things your pastor preaches. You probably don't remember. Anyways, but remember, Zerubbabel came in to the back to the land from Babylon, and he built the house of God. And then Ezra came back, and he brought the word to teach. But it still wasn't a safe city, because there was no wall. So who had to come and build the wall? Jehovah Comforts had to come build the wall. Jehovah's Comfort. Nehemiah. Nehemiah came to build the wall, and it shows that Jehovah comforts you and I. We're comforted in Christ when we have the wall and the protection of the Word around our minds, and we're not thinking the wrong thing, we're thinking the right thing.
Amen.
Whatever's pure, whatever's holy,
Amen.
Whatever's lovely, think on these things. And I was guilty. The Bible says in Isaiah 60, verse 18, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. So see, walls in the Bible represent deliverance in those days. Because there wasn't airplanes like we have today. It was all land armies. And so if you had a wall, brother, you had salvation. You had deliverance, brother. That's why it wasn't enough. It was great that Zerubbabel started the work. He laid the altar, built the house, and Ezra comes teaching the Word of God. But 14 years later, Nehemiah comes and said, we need salvation. All we've got is a tabernacle. We don't got protection. Hallelujah! And you and I, all we've got is a tabernacle. We need protection. We need a wall. We need the Word of God in our minds, and especially our souls. But I'm talking about our minds today.
Amen.
That we don't think the wrong thing towards somebody.
Right.
And Brother Anderson, it's so easy to build a complex.
Yeah.
Instead of talking to somebody and sitting down and saying, brother, sister, I've had this thought, and I wonder, do you feel this way toward me? Did I do something to you, sister? Can you help me understand if I sinned against you? I want to make it right. But I feel like you're treating me like this. Instead of being a real Christian like that, praise the Lord. Instead of being a real Christian and sitting down and talking about it, we say, come on, devil, come on over here. Come set up a fortress on my land. Let's start fighting against that person. And the church said, amen. But if you have a wall, it delivers you from all those devils that try to come in and bring mind battles. You've got a wall. Can you imagine those days if they built their wall like 10 feet high or something like that? You could hear the enemy coming, and you could be on the inside of the wall, and you could say, praise God, I'm behind the wall. They sound like they got a pretty big army. But we've got a wall. We control the gates. They can't get in because we've locked the gates. We've got guards at the gates. Come on and try to fight against us. We can actually stand on the wall and shoot down. We've got the advantage because we've got walls. We've got the advantage because we've got the wall of the Word. Hallelujah. There was no armies that could fly overhead like that, shooting up like Rambo or something like that. No! If you had a wall, you had all the advantage! Because you could stand up there from afar and shoot off your arrows. And you could keep the enemy at bay! And if you had a wall, you could rejoice and say, I'm saved! I'm delivered! I'm gonna be saved! Because I've got a wall! We've had walls of defense, which is the Word of God. In this case, the word of defense for me, in my complex, the word of defense would have been Matthew 18, where it says, if you got a problem against somebody, go and talk to them. It would have been another scripture, I forget where Jesus said it, but he said, if you remember a brother has an ought against you, go to him and talk about it, and leave your gift at the altar. How much better would our services be? If we would leave our sacrifice here before church, go make things right, and then come back and have church. I think we'd have some real good, even better services than we're having now. My prayer for our church is God keep all the sin out of the church. Because if that is done, then the Holy Ghost can flow in a powerful way. Just keep all of our sins out of the church. Is that a big job, Brother Jesse? Yeah, but there's no big job. Too big job for my daddy. My daddy can handle all that. I'm going to have to wait a little while, but I've asked the Father for that, and if I ask anything believing, I shall have it. Praise God. So, let's look at Brother Bram's complex. Standing in the gap. He says, pray that God will place into my heart that something that I lost out there in that complex. So see, when you have a complex, you lose something. Like you lose the possession of that land that you had. You don't own that anymore. You don't rule that. Now those evil thoughts rule that. Right. It's so easy to build a complex, he says. He says you just get a little something in your mind and keep thinking that way. He says go back and check it with the scripture and see if that's right or not. So see, all you do is let one, let one thought come in and we just keep thinking, well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. And pretty soon a complex has been built up towards that person, this person. Maybe it's a whole group of people. Maybe it's a whole church. Maybe it's a whole city. Some people just hate Cleveland. You know, I hate this city and I hate Los Angeles. They might have a complex toward a whole city. There might be some real nice people in that city. We understand God's judgment against LA, and I'm not saying that, but you understand what I'm saying. People can build up something that shouldn't even be there. Some arrogance or malice. They're just really upset, really angry, really bitter. Shouldn't even be there. Hope it's helping you by the grace of God. He says this also. He says, how many knows you got a complex? Raise your hand. Look at that. There. See? Brother Branham said, almost everybody in the church raised their hand at Branham Tabernacle. Who's got a complex out there? And almost everybody raised their hand. At this moment right now, I don't think I have one. But like I told you a few days ago, Satan tried to have me get one. Which means I don't feel like I have anything built up towards anybody that I know. Like they got something against me and I'm upset with them and something like that. Now, do I got enemies? Yeah. 2 weeks ago, some people told a lie on me. And this person called me up and said, Brother Jesse, did you say this and call this person and say that? I said, you can check my phone records. I never called anybody that man or that week. And I started rejoicing because I said, if they're lying about me, if Satan is lying about me, I must be doing something right by God's grace. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but you understand, when persecution comes, God must be doing something right. We must be obeying something. Remember in the book of Acts? After they got whipped and stayed that night in the jail, they went home rejoiced and said, thank you, Lord, that we can suffer for your name. Oh, my. How many of us can do that? Glory. And 2 weeks before that, after Cam preached that wonderful message at Bang's reception, all the church, or some of the church members from that church said, oh, those are a bunch of devil worshipers. Cam's church and Jesse's church, they're a bunch of devil worshipers. They're a bunch of criers. And I thought, praise God that we could suffer for the name of Jesus Christ a little bit. Amen. And the youth pastor went in the church and was talking to young people. And somebody was sitting there that told me about it. And he said, now we're just Christians and we're not going to try to proselyte in other people's churches like that brother Jesse from Akron. So then I had youth pastors telling their young people, be careful for that brother Jesse. He's trying to proselyte all of our young people. I'm not trying to proselyte them. I'm trying to save them. Amen. When Paul got the Holy Ghost, my Bible tells me he went into the churches that had the last message of the hour. Hallelujah! He went to synagogues, Jewish synagogues. That was the previous message of the hour. But Paul had nobody else to preach to. God told him to first preach to the Jews, then go to the Gentiles. So his population, his people to preach to, were in the synagogues.
Amen.
So how does that type for us? Well, we must preach and say, come out of her, my people. That you be not partakers of her sins and her plagues. By proselyting to a new denomination, the Jesse and Simon and Cam Smith denomination. Let's do it, brother. Let's just build up on the way we were raised, and Cam knows about this, and I can do this, and Simon can do that, and Paul can do that. Let's just have a Smith denomination. Nonsense.
Amen.
That'll take us to hell faster than anything else. Brother Ram said, you write twice as fast in a church that's not right with the Word if you're not receiving the Word. We've got to receive the Bible. We're not building this church upon Cam's personality or my personality or Brother Isaiah's or Ben Narod's personality. You'll laugh at our personalities and things like that. You might enjoy that for a while, but pretty soon everything becomes common. And then you got to make a decision. Am I going to sit there and say it's a man, or am I going to listen to what the Word is saying?
Amen.
What is the Word saying through that pastor? What's the Word saying through that teacher or that evangelist? What's the Word saying to me?
Amen.
Brother Bram said, actions speak louder than words. He said, you don't even have to write up a bylaws or a denominational creed book to be a denomination. Whenever you stop the move of the Holy Ghost, it's as if you've denominated.
Amen.
I'm not saying our church or your church has denominated, but I'm going to say like this. When I let these complexes build up, I stop growing in God right there. Like Abraham and like Peter. I stop growing in God. And I would even ask my wife, I wonder why I can't get past this. It's because I had not talked to these people about the things that I was holding in my heart. You love the Lord?
Right.
So most of the people in the church had a complex.
Come on.
How many people here got a complex? Raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. But the man said, he tells his complex right here. And in my mind, I had made up this. If these people didn't want to hear my message, all right. They didn't have to. That was his complex. So he would name call them Rickies, Rickettas.
Hello. Amen.
Well, that reminds me of another prophet that would name call Moses.
Hello.
You bunch of rebels. Come on, church.
Come on.
You bunch of rebels, I'll fetch you water out of this rock.
Oh, my.
The Bible said the people provoked him unto anger. Now listen, I'm not blaming the people, because God blamed Moses too. When someone does you wrong, that doesn't give you the right to treat them bad. Because God proved it with Moses. The people provoked him, but he had a responsibility. He could have stood there and said, well, listen, I've been to the burning bush. I've been with God. And I can live above your provoking. Come on, church. And we say we got the Holy Ghost and we're seeing the day of redemption. We are if we've got it, really. But now Satan comes to test us and say, can you turn down Satan's lie and can you manifest love back to the person that just spit on you or just told a lie on you like they did on me? You know what I did after they told a lie on me? I got so happy. I went and bought them $130 of groceries and took it right to their home. I carried in myself a big 50-pound bag of rice. How y'all doing? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus! Because the Bible says, do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This gospel is glorious, church. It's glorious. The man said, when someone does you wrong, he said, go tell somebody something nice about him.
Amen.
Jesus said, then you'll be the children of my Father, which is in heaven. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Now I realize because I told that, I won't get any reward in heaven. That's fine. But if it helps one of you, go do something nice for somebody in secret that did something dirty and wrong to you, then that's worth it to me. Praise God. I love the Word of God. Church, God knows my heart. Because I was free from all the other complexes, when this sin came upon me, I was almost happy like, oh, praise God. They told a lie on me. And I can straighten it out and I can say, now I can do something nice for them.
Amen.
So what was Brother Ram's complex? They don't want to hear my preaching, they don't have to. And that's another part of my testimony. I built up a complex toward our church in Akron. I built it up so much so that I preached 35 sermons on gifts. And at first the people were really enjoying it. But then I started preaching too hard on gifts. Like, come on, where's your gifts? Come on, people. What's wrong with you? Now, I don't know if those are the exact words, but I was really harsh on them. So later I had to come back and I had to apologize and say, I'm sorry for that. Because it's true, we do need the gifts, but only divine love can produce them. And so I'm asking God now to help me. How can I guide the people to divine love so that they'll so fall in love with Christ that these gifts automatically operate? Brother Bam said they just operate.
Good.
Whenever you need them. You know, whenever you need them, they just operate like that. But that was my sin too. I got upset with the people. And I built up in my mind that maybe I'm not a pastor. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I have all these things that prove I'm a pastor in my mind. But because the gifts aren't operating and I feel like this person doesn't like me and that person, maybe I should be an evangelist. Sounds a lot like Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, if they don't want to hear my message, they don't have to. You know what? He said, one of these days, as soon as I get my wife up there, I won't tell her what I'm going to do. So you see, now he's hiding things because he's got a complex. He's hiding things from his wife because he's got a complex, church. When you start hiding things from your wife, your husband, or your pastor, your deacon, when you start hiding things you're going to do from people, be careful, that might be a complex. I won't tell her what I'm going to do. I'm going to get there. I'm going to tell her I love this place so well. No need of us going anywhere else. Let's just stay here. Way back from civilization. 1,100 miles from anywhere. When you want to be 1,100 miles from someone, you got a complex toward them. It's 1,200 miles from here I'm sorry, from my house to Miami, Florida. And if you wish you could take Sister Barb, I love you, but I wish you would go to Miami, Florida and go to church there. I just can't stand looking at her out there. Or maybe she feels that way. Well, Jesse, I like your preaching, but I wish she would just pick you up and take you to Texas and take you to Fort Worth, Texas, and don't come around here anymore, although I love you. Sounds like a complex. An automatic feeling. I wish I was 1,100 miles from these churches that I preach to. I preach my message and they just turn me down. Night after night, Brother Ram tells us, I preach about long hair and their hair gets shorter. I preach about wearing makeup and the makeup gets more greener. Or whatever color they use.
Right.
Or like a zombie or something like that. And if they won't hear my preaching, done. And church, God knows, that's how I felt. So I prayed to God in June of 2014. I said, Lord, and I meant business with God. I was really desperate. I said, Lord, if you want me to stay here in Akron, let my ministry win one soul to you. Let them come to our church and support our church fully. That will let me know that you want me to stay in Akron. If not, I'm going to start making plans to leave Akron and go evangelize. Well, that was in June. July, I still have these complexes against these five people. In July, I was coming to preach on a Sunday morning, sitting at my study, studying, and this complex thought started coming to me. I thought, you know what, I'm going to preach that this morning. I preach on complexes, I'm crying. The previous day, I didn't even study on complexes one lick. I had a whole other message I was going to preach. But the Lord led me to preach on complexes that morning. I was weeping. A few people come to the altar weeping. One of the people at the altar at our church said, Brother Jesse, while I was crying and weeping and sobbing, they were shaking like a leaf. They said, in my mind, I saw the last 13 years of my life, and I saw the moment that I let this complex build up. The Bible said, your young men will dream dreams, see visions. The person said, I saw a vision of the last 13 years, and here's the moment where the complex started. He's an on-time God. That evening I preached on complexes, more weeping, more crying. The next few weeks were spent at our local church having numerous meetings trying to talk about all these. Turned out to be a lot of misunderstandings. Let me be honest. Some of the things I don't know for sure. If people that have done me wrong, I don't know if they really, really repented or not. But one thing's for sure, I'm not holding against them anymore. I know all the things they thought I did wrong. I know I tried to repent of all those things. And even if someone won't make it fully right, well, the Bible says, then why don't you suffer and take the wrong and still love that person? And church, since then, God has given me a revival at my home church. Now, me now. If you walk in there, you say, that looks a lot like the previous time, Brother Jess. I'm talking about me. My zeal to preach and pastor has skyrocketed. I love it. I just get back and I lost my zeal because the complex stole away all my joy. I love to go study now, sit down, and I can't wait to deliver this to the people. Even if they don't rejoice or shout like I am, I'm going to rejoice and shout. If they don't cry and rejoice, I'm going to cry and rejoice because I know how much Jesus loves me and I love Him. Amen. And I have more resolve and I have more confidence that God has called me to be a pastor now than I ever have ever before. Because in August, Bang's little brother, Koo, invited 16 of young people from their church, the ones that told lies on me and said Cam and I are demon preachers. Well, we are demon caster outer preachers. That's what we are. Right, Brother Cam? That's what we are. I mean, so I understand the connection to demons there, how we have the power to cast them out. Because their churches, they don't have the word to cast them out. I'm saying that serious. We have the word to cast out demons, but they don't. demons of lie, demons of stealing, demons of cigarette addiction. Amen. Demons of any kind of addiction. We've got the power to cast them out through the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't have that because their people sit there under chains and slavery to sin of demon powers. So if they call us demon preachers, well, then we know what that means. It's because we cast them out by the grace of God. Anyways, in August, I preach a morning service. Coup invited 16, 20-somethings, Hmongs, to our church. And I sat down in my office. I had 5 minutes till we went out there. I was so tired. The only sermon I had left on my iPad I hadn't preached yet was why I'm against organized religion. I thought, Lord, are you serious? This is all I got to preach. That's a true story. But when I started going through Brother Bram's quotes, I did a little quick Bible study because I didn't have time to preach all the quotes. Well, that's on our website. I mean, you can hear it. But I was blasting sin and blasting denominations, showing how Cain started the first denomination and all these things. All the way down through the Bible, Korah's denomination. At the end of that sermon, I said, if you've got sin in your heart, I preach on movies. And I knew all these people watch movies, these young people. That's all they do. You know, that's their joy because that's all I did. And the very first one to come up was a young man by the name of Amen. And he comes up with his head bowed down like this. I said, brother, do you want prayer? He said, yeah. I said, is there anybody else? Pretty soon, five more come up. They're all girls. I'm sorry, two boys, four girls. The first one was Brother Amen. I prayed for him. He starts crying. I said, brother, just stay there and worship God. You've got to walk out of here like you're delivered from this sin. He said, I will, Brother Jesse. He's crying. He's got tears and all these things. Wendy was there. We went through one at a time, and every one of them, the Holy Spirit broke their spirits, and everyone was crying. Six people crying. I'm crying. Well, a few days later, I tried to keep in touch with all of them. Only one ever come back. That was Amen. 3 days later, he calls me up. He said, can I be baptized? I saw your video about baptism. Can I be baptized? Oh, I'd be glad to baptize you, sir. He had a shirt on that said, there must be something real. I loved you. That made me happy and rejoice. There is something real. It's called the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, the simple preaching of the power of the Holy Ghost will never lose its power. I didn't have TV screens. I didn't have a rock and roll behind me. All I was packing was the Word of God. Hey, just like John the Baptist, just like Moses, preaching God's Word. And it brought forth a seed. He started visiting from time to time. He said, Brother Jesse, this is around November. I'd like to come to your church full time, he said. But I got duties at the other church. What would you recommend? Well, I said, well, let me be honest. If I had duties at the denomination, I would ask them, can I do my duties outside of church time? Because I can't feed on this denominational word that they're preaching. He said, no, that's interesting. Within a matter of a few weeks, he said, Brother Jesse, I feel led to come to your church full time. This was early December. And so I'm preaching in late December, and I just brought the testimony how God answers prayer. And I told the testimony, right? He never heard it before. I told the testimony. I said, I was about battling complexes. I was about ready to leave. And I prayed, God, if you want me to stay here, send me one soul that hears the word through my ministry and will make this church their home church. And I said, he's sitting right there. His name's Amen. There's the vindication of my prayer to God. Amen. Glory. And when Cam's preached, he's been at the altar, he's been thanking God for it. When I preach, we've prayed and we have snot running down our nose sometimes, praying for the other church. Now, which one do you think is the Holy Ghost-filled church? That church that warns them about me being a proselyte, and badmouths us, call us demon preachers, and here we are on our faces and snot is pouring out, saying, God, save some people in that church. Which one that looks like the Holy Ghost church to you?
Come
They're persecuting us. We're praying for them. But don't get me wrong. I persecute their doctrine. All night, 24-7, I'll persecute their doctrine. But I'm not persecuting the individuals. Brother Bram said, you've got to strike the snake that's biting the people. And that snake is the Antichrist organization, which will be the mark of the beast. Brother Bram said, those nominations will take the mark of the beast. Thus saith the Lord. He said that. Amen. That's why we need to pray for our loved ones to get out of denomination, because they will take it. It's thus saith the Lord. Why? Because denominations have always taken the mark of the beast.
Amen.
Cain was the first denomination. He was marked and could never come back to the presence of God anymore. Korah was swallowed up because he tried to start his own denomination. We don't need anybody can be a preacher. Why have to have this holy priesthood? God said, don't touch my prophets and don't touch mine anointed. Do them no harm. I'll swallow you off the earth if you try to touch my anointed. That's how much God loves this word, this message, this anointing. God, well protected. Hallelujah. So I say all that to say, God has a way to keep us in the perfect will of God. That's my only prayer. Lord, after I overcome the complexes, Lord, what am I to do next? And God answered my prayer. Now previously, I've been pastoring her 8 years. And we only had a few souls at the beginning that came out and really believed the message and supported it full time. Some fall away, you know how it is. You guys have baptized people, they come to church, they fall away. Because they let the devil snatch that seed out of their heart. I didn't let them do that. They let the devil do that. We try to fortify them with Bible studies, teach them the Word. Well, how come that worked for me and not for them? When I come to the message, I just sat down and heard the Word. Nobody had to beg me to come to church. Nobody had to pay me money, gas money to come to church. I just had to come to church. Why? Because there was life at church. The Word was at church. Come on, church. No one had to beg me. No one. Satan couldn't snatch. He tried to snatch that seed out, but he could never snatch it out. Why? Because it was predestinated. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. It fell on a good ground. Yeah. Recently, that brother Amen asked me. He said, Brother Jesse, he said, you are the only person I know that I've ever met in my 22 years of life that applies the Word to their life and actually lives it. And he's seen all these revival services, all these things. He said, you are the only person I've ever met in my life that applies the Word to your life and actually lives it. He said, I will always back up your church. I'll always be loyal to your church. Now we'll see. I believe he will by God's grace. But I'm just saying. And then I told him on the phone, I said, brother, I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because when I came to the message, I saw Simon living a life that I know I couldn't live. And then I went over to Dave and Craig's house. I told him this on the phone a few nights ago. I saw these young, strong men. They were big, you know, Dave's big, burly, strong man like that. He is. And I'm expecting like some sports or something. And they have pictures of Jesus as a shepherd. Like a little like cartoon. Now it's a nice holy picture, but like big strong man, Jesus painting. Tapes, tapes with Brother Branham's picture on it. And I told Amen, I said, this is what I told Dave too. I said, when I entered that room, I said, these guys are either the biggest deceivers I know, or they've got something that I don't got. Because my room was covered with, Drew Bledsoe pictures and some filthy women or whatever, how you do as a sinner. And I was in football, my hair's long like this. And I told Amen, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because when I walked in there, I saw a life that I either wanted to live or I knew I couldn't live. And I wanted to find the way that I could live that life. Amen. Back to Brother Branham. 1,100 miles from anywhere, way in the wilderness. Won't that be fine? I won't have to get a haircut. Well, what about the word about men having short hair? Brother Branham said, I won't have to get a haircut. Look at the complex it'll do to you. It'll make you push the boundaries between holiness and modesty. Come on, sisters. Come on, brothers. Brothers too. Brothers can wear tight shirts, right? It's true. I got some guns. I always want to be a regular mountaineer. When the Lord wants to use me and tells me to go down and tell somebody something, I'll run out and tell them and come back again. He said, I was thinking on that thought. He says, at 4 a.m. in the morning, he drove. Billy Paul went to sleep. You know the story, some of you. Standing in the gap, 1963, if you'd like to listen to it. He said, someone went to talking to me, a voice just the same as you hear mine. It said, carry out your plans or your complex. Carry out your complex and you'll be like this other. He saw a homeless man that was being led around in the restaurant that looked just like Brother Branham except a little older. And the voice said, if you carry out your complex, you're going to be like a beggar. You're going to be poor and dirty and have to have people lead you around. Doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit babied him very much, did it? But sometimes we think, well, the Spirit's always going to be real gentle and always be real gentle. Sometimes He is real gentle. But sometimes He's not. The thing to do is recognize, is that a word voice? Or is that my voice or the devil's voice? Because the word voice will point you back to the Word. And as soon as he said, carry out your plans and you'll be like that. But I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. But yet he had a plan to be like that. See how our complexes really aren't that. It's not a reality. We really don't want to be like this. We don't want to talk like this. We don't want to think that about that person when the word actually comes. But in practice, it's a whole different thing. Once we leave the church, it's a lot harder. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Bam says this. He says, your wife will leave you too. She won't live up there in them hills like that, and you'll become a bum just as the dream showed you would. Look what a complex, the angel foretells him, if you do all this, if you run away from evangelizing to all these people that reject you, your wife will leave you. What a great marriage that would be. Praise God. How many people would like to go to a church where the husband and wife aren't in one accord? And they're just... they're divorced or something like that. Or the preacher's been married 2 or 3 times. Would anybody go to church like that? I wouldn't. I'd pray for them, but I would not go to their church. Because they don't fit the type of Christ and His one bride. Paul said that in 1 Timothy 3. Pastor must be the husband of one wife. But now, in their gender neutral Bibles, now it just says the pastor just has to have one spouse. And now, so a woman can be a pastor and she can have a husband. I'm sorry, the text says he. It's the Greek word for a man. Must marry one Greek word for a woman. Amen. Stop changing God's word. Amen. Every word of God is pure, the Bible says. Amen. Add thou not to His words, lest you be found a liar. How many people will go to hell because they've changed the words of the Bible? And now open up floodgates. Well, man, if a man can do this, so can a woman. No, God's words are pure words. Use God's words. So his complex was going to cause a marriage separation. How am I doing on time here? Okay, praise God. Pretty good. Only an hour and a half so far, praise God. As your pastor said at our church too, it's not the length of time, it's the content. Amen. It's the Spirit. When the Spirit's dealing with us, time just seems to fade away. Amen. Hope you can agree with that by God's grace. Amen. So I shared with you my complexes. I had one against a church and 5 individuals. So I went to each of the individuals over the phone. I went to one in person. And I just shared, you know, I've held this for this long. I said, I'm sorry, it was my fault, but can you help me understand why this and this and this? I've just always felt this towards you. And in all five cases, I was graciously received. Now, some of them, I still feel like there needs to be correction made on their part. But you know what? I told them where I stand, and I'm not going to shoot any more darts toward anybody. Praise the Lord. Like that song says, you can talk about me as much as you please. I'm going to talk about them on my knees. Is that true? Each person. It was really humbling, church. But afterwards, I just feel free now. Like I feel like there's nothing between my Savior and I. I feel like all the weight's been dropped. Honestly, I feel like a new pastor. 8.5 years, I feel like it's week number two, you know, week number one. I just started my first pastor position. Praise God. I love this word, amen. The Bible says, amen. The Bible says in Galatians 6:15, there's only one thing that avails or prevails in Christ Jesus. It's a new creature. When God makes you new again, that's what prevails against the gates of hell. So see, God had to give me a revelation that I had complexes. Then I could go deal with them. And now I hold nothing between that. And it was after the complexes, God answered my prayer. And now I know by the grace of God, now through my prayers, through my experience with God, I could be wrong, but I believe I'm in the perfect will of God as pastor at Bride of Christ Fellowship. Because I've tried to get rid of all the sin in my heart. I've gone to every person I feel like I've sinned against, or they sinned against me, or they sinned against someone I knew, and I hadn't told them about it. I've gone to every person and tried to sit down and talk with them about that. Now, what kind of church would you and I have, my church that God's given me and your church, what kind of churches would we have if we could all say that? We've called every person that we've ever had this hard feeling against and talked it out till everything's sweet again. Even if they won't humble themselves and repent. Because that happened in a few cases. They wouldn't humble themselves and repent to me. I said, that's okay. At least I told them they need to repent. Because the Bible said it's the kindness of God that'll lead them to repentance. It's not my pounding it down their throat. Like I was trying to do to my church. Come on, you need the gifts. Come on. Where's your gifts? Where's your gifts? Let me share with you what God put on my heart that morning when I got the victory over the complex about the gifts there. This is what I wrote down as I was crying and in prayer. My complex was that the people wouldn't receive the word I was bringing, just like Brother Branham. But now, God has just given me peace. I wrote this on July 24th, I think it was. All I must do is preach the word, and whatever kind of seed is in each kind of person will manifest. If they don't like the word, it'll manifest. If they're going to become the word, then they'll rejoice in the words of God that I'm bringing. I know it in myself because Brother Ram said in the Church Age book, the only way to know you're a Christian is because you're overcoming the devil, he says. That's what God dropped in my heart. As long as I see myself overcoming the devil, I know I'll be one of those overcomers that sits on the throne with Jesus. But if I breed bitterness and hard feelings and complexes toward others, there's a little cloud of doubt there over your testimony, over my testimony. Brother Lamb said that. Brother Lamb talked about this woman in the church in the tabernacle. He said, we always doubted her testimony because of certain sins she would do all the time. Wasn't faithful to church, would drink and do stuff like that, yet she was baptized in Jesus Christ's name by Brother Branham. He said, we always doubted her testimony. And she went away and married a second person, although she had a living spouse, and went to a mental institution and died a sinner's death. She was one of those that was crying out, seeing demons when she died. They said, give her the hypo, give her the hypo, give her the hypo. You deceiver, pastor, her denominational pastor. You deceiver, you told me it was all right. You lied to me. The demons are here now. You deceiver. Give her the hypo. Give her the hypo. I had a preacher one time, another pastor tell me, he said, Brother Jesse, and this has always stayed with me. My wife's helped remind me of this from time to time when us preachers get discouraged. Does the lady get discouraged sometimes too? Yeah. Everybody gets discouraged, don't they? My wife reminded me, a pastor told me one time, he said, Brother Jesse, he said, I feel like most of the people in our church do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost because I don't see the supernatural in their lives. He said, but that's okay. He said, because they might not be elected to that. And he said, so my responsibility is to preach the word and help them be the very best Christian they can be. And this wasn't Brother Isaiah Brooks, because we're such good buddies with Cam and I and Simon and everybody. It wasn't Brother Brooks. Another message preacher with about 150, I think, in his church. He said, I realize most people don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I don't want to get in their way, because I was telling about my complex. He's like, I don't want my complex to get in the way of me helping them become the best foolish virgin they can be.
Mom.
I thought, mercy, Lord Jesus. That humbled me right there. I thought, wow. I hung my head. I said, Lord, forgive me. My responsibility is to feed the Word of God to God's sheep. And then whatever seed they have in them, that will manifest. Let's stand to our feet. I've opened up and shared a lot of personal things and hope you won't go put it on Facebook. But if you are, I'll put a response on Facebook and say, yeah, that's I did preach that, you know. There's a lot of scripture I didn't get to, like Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. When we have complexes, it gives a place in our promised land to the devil. We should not give him that. I'll just play that little song, Make Me More Like Thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. Make... The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we walk after the flesh, but we don't war against the flesh. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm sorry, the word stronghold means a fortress. God's weapons He gives us are the Word. And if we use those weapons, it'll pull down every stronghold. Can you imagine I let the devil build strongholds in my life for 3-4 years? One brother hadn't called me for 8 years, had invited me back to preach for 8 years, and I had such a complex toward him. Like, what did I have to ever do to this brother? And I didn't even talk about it. I just built up the complex after all those years. And when we talked about it, perfectly good explanation. And I just started smiling and said, oh, I can see that. I can understand that. And I said, forgive me for having the complex. I gave a place in my mind to the enemy towards you. Instead of feeling good about you, I felt hurt towards you. But I wonder if we could just look at spiritually in my heart and mind for a few moments. I had all these walls built up, but as soon as I went to each brother and talked about it, the Holy Spirit come in and start breaking down all those bricks. Like the sledgehammer of the Word. Sort of breaking down that fortress against that person. That one, that one, that one. You can point to your place. Holy Spirit starts breaking down these walls, these fortresses. And then He starts building up a wall around my human thinking. Starts building it up. And then through that, God answers my prayer. And I know where I'm supposed to be. There's no more questions in my mind where I'm supposed to be. I wonder if each one of us could say that this morning. By the grace of God. Let's sing that. Let's bow our heads here. Oh, and make me more like Thee. Sing it again. Start at the beginning. Praise God. Oh, make Make me like you, Jesus. Jesus, make me more than you. Give me a heart with love and make me more. Just keep playing that. Brother Dave, pull up one more scripture. Isaiah 27, verse 2, please. I forgot this scripture. I want to see this here. Isaiah 27, verse 2. The Bible says this. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. Who keeps this vineyard? God keeps this vineyard. Who keeps this body? God keeps this body. And what did he say? I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it, and I will keep it night and day. Remember, Jesus said, thou shalt not hurt the oil and the wine. If your experience is hurt with God, and you don't feel watered, and you don't see the wine bringing forth like God's vineyard's supposed to, then examine your heart right now. See if you have a complex, because He promised to water it. That's what I found in my life. I couldn't get anywhere with God. I just felt like I could never move on past these things. After I dealt with them, I feel like I took a giant leap forward. That's in my own testimony. How many want Him to water it? Let's sing that again.
And make me more.
I'm your vineyard, Lord. Make my vineyard more like yours. Sing that again. Make me more.
Oh, make me more like thee, Jesus.
Any stronghold, Lord, let it be broken down today. Any fortress that attacks other people.
Oh, give me.
Fill with divine love.
Hallelujah.
And make more. Anyone desires prayer, I'll be happy to pray with you. Sing it again.
Oh, and make me
more. Jesus, make me, Lord, more like you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Possess all my ground, Lord.
Oh, give me a
hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah! Fill me with love and not fiery darts.
And make me more like thee.
Sing it again, church. Hallelujah!
And make,
yes, Jesus, make me pure like Jesus was. Make me sinless like Jesus. Take away all my guilt, all my shame. Take away my complexes, Lord.
Oh, give me
a heart that's pure. A heart that's kind. With love, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for touching me. Thank you for showing me my fault. Sing it again,
oh Jesus. Thank you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Now break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.